League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the cheating voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. I've got the tail between my legs.
So you've just told me that you've cheated on me. I'm intrigued to know what this means. I'm a bit scared as well, actually, because I'm not sure what kind of relationship we had that you think we had in order for you to have cheated on me.
Did you not know that we were exclusive? Did we not make that clear? So, yes, I did cheat on you. I've been on another podcast.
Right. Okay, well, this is not the first time this has happened. Go on. No. Which one is it now?
I snuck behind your back and I went on Under the Cosh yesterday.
Wow. Okay, that's not what I was expecting. Okay, fine. That's slightly left field for you, Richard, isn't it?
Yes. Do you know what? It is. So I'll give a bit of the background. They're over in Dubai at the moment. So I had a call out of the blue a few days ago saying, do you fancy coming on? At first, wasn't sure because I guess a lot of what we speak about, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be of interest to the audience that listen to Under the Cosh. It's obviously a very different feel to what we do, which very enjoyable, but very different feel. So had the chat with him, spoke to him again, and then basically just sort of said, like, look, more than happy to come on, but, you know, I'm almost a bit concerned that I don't want it to be the most boring pod that you've ever done, which it may well be, because effectively I really enjoyed it, but we just spoke goalkeeping for about an hour and a half.
Okay, well, that's a plus. So what, no, just... I mean, elaborate with this. So you just spoke goalkeeping, because normally there's stories about teammates, there's a bit of laughter, a bit of banter, a bit of colourful, lots of colourful language, to be fair.
Yeah, well, they did start with, a few bits career related, but of course, I had a feeling they would. They started with Dragon's Den appearance, Come Dine With Me appearance, so got them out of the way early, which was fine. But then similar to what we do on the pod, you know, we bring everything back to goalkeeping at some point. It was just one of them. They'd ask me a question about something, and by the end of the conversation, I'm talking about goalkeeping again. So it kind of started off with a few stories of sorts and then very quickly moved into goalkeeping and pretty much stayed there for the whole time.
Okay. Well, normally with these types of appearances, there is a payoff whereby you get to promote what it is that you do. Of course, there is the agency and then goalkeeper icon, GK icon, the footballing schools, the goalkeeping schools, sorry. But I'm presuming you went big on the podcast.
I thought I'd do the other strategy. I thought rather than sort of, you know, putting it in people's faces, I was thinking if I don't mention it, maybe they'll follow me, they'll find it and they'll be attracted to what we do, as opposed to like being really in your face. I'm sure you'd appreciate that.
So no mention of the podcast whatsoever. No promotion in there whatsoever on another podcast that gets tens and thousands of listeners.
That is correct. I did mention the agency quite a lot. Spoke about the agency.
Nice. Okay, good. I'm sure we've all been name checked.
Some of the lads did, yeah.
On with the show.
On with the show. Let's do it.
Rightio, we are going to start at the Etihad. Richard, where Edison has somehow managed to blag his fourth, not even blag it, he's managed to brilliantly execute his fourth assist of the season. This is his eighth as a player. It's record broken for assists this season by Premier League goalkeepers in a single campaign. So four others in there, Leno, Pickford, Verbruggen and Flecken. But yeah, what more can you say about Edison and his left foot?
Probably not a lot more. Do we move on or should we talk about it?
Well, I guess we should just recognise it again, shouldn't we? Just because of the laissez-faire approach that he seems to have to this assist. And it was, I know we speak about this a lot, it was an assist. It wasn't just a punt up the pitch. This was directed, wasn't it?
It was. No, look, phenomenal. I know we speak about it a lot and we'll no doubt speak about it for time to come, but it's... He is a quarterback. You know, it is. It's NFL. It's the timing of it. You can obviously see this is rehearsed, and because it's even the timing of the run as well, where he waits, and it's just a trajectory. Like, you know, talk about pinpoint. It is, though, every time. Like, so low driven, but it almost feels like it slows up a bit when it gets to the player. And great finish from the lad, to be fair. Lovely touch. Takes it around Henderson and puts it into the empty net. But yeah, the weight of the pass, the trajectory, the speed, and just the timing of the pass itself. Like you say, this doesn't just happen by accident. This has to be rehearsed. And again, it's perfectly executed.
Two other moments to mention here. But before we do that, we should also mention Louis Mulden, the goalkeeper who is currently at Crystal Palace, who will be screaming at his radio, his phone, his headset, however he is listening to this, because it's not the first time this has happened. He made 5 assists for Rochdale last season, and that was in the first half of the season. So not the first time that this has been done. But going back to the game, the second goal conceded by Edison, a header from Chris Rogers. Like to get your thoughts on that one. That was from a corner. And the free kick from Kevin De Bruyne. Just a word on Dean Henderson for that one.
Yeah, so firstly the corner Edison conceded. Yeah, look, it's one that he'll be frustrated by. It doesn't look great, you know, when it's whipped in 3-4 yards out and you attempt to come for it, you don't get there. The difficulty with this, and again, all goalkeepers that have seen this will appreciate it, he can't get anywhere near the flight of the ball. The moment, and the opposition do it really well, the moment the guy gets in front of him, you've only got a split second to get there. And of course, him just blocking him for that split second does it very cleverly in that, you know, a foul won't be given for this, even though you could argue it is, because he does stop him going towards the ball. He's got no intention of playing the ball. But again, he's very cute in how he does it. So naturally, it's not given as a foul. But what it does mean, Edison can't ever get to the highest point, even though he's trying to. And in the end, the guy gets there ahead of him. So I feel for him in that it's one he'll be frustrated by. And at the same time, I don't know what you do differently when you have got someone that's stood in front of you like that. In terms of the Dean Henderson one, I think with this, he's just got done by the eyes. You know, it's, as a rule of thumb, ordinarily you'd say like goalkeepers, you know, shouldn't or wouldn't want to be beaten on their own side. There was the example actually, and I was going to say, if you are going to get beaten on your own side, it probably is the example in the Papa John's final, you know, phenomenal free kick that beat Ryan Alsop. And that one's a bit different in that at the point at which Ryan Alsop's got his full dive away, it's above the bar, dips, hits the underside of the bar and goes in. So I guess that's probably the one example of where if you are going to get beaten on your own side, then that's probably the example. I just think with this one, he's obviously fully expecting it to go over the wall. There are the two men blocking his sight, and you see from behind the goal, just as it's about to be taken, he takes the smallest step to his left. And when De Bruyne does so brilliantly, where he, you know, gives him the eyes, whips it back across himself, and he isn't even able to get a dive away. You know, the speed of the ball goes in off the post, I believe. So one that he'll be a little bit frustrated with, more for the fact that I think if he holds and waits for the strike itself, he possibly does get a dive away and get something on it. But the moment you take that slight step, you're always going to be in trouble.
It's the Virtue Trophy, by the way, Richard, not the Papa John's. It was the Papa John's.
What is it now?
A couple of years ago. We had this discussion a few months ago, and actually we got it wrong because we called it the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, which is what it was called last season. And this season, it's called the Virtue Trophy, which it will be next season as well. But I believe that Bristol Street Motors and Virtue are all under the same banner. I think it's like Virtue Dealership or something like that. So it's kind of one of the same, but they've called it two different things.
Right. I apologise to Virtue. I still call it JPT. So that shows how old I am.
And that's the sort of content that you should have been getting on Under the Cosh. Wow. Okay. What a
great
contrast.
Trophy, though. Great trophy. Like, congrats to Peterborough. Like, no, it is. Do you know what? I say this. Probably I had my most success in that trophy and my happiest memory. So it really is one that I should keep up to date. So big apologies to Virtue.
Moving over to the Emirates. A semi assist here. David Raya. This was lovely goalkeeping. A collect and a release for the goal for Thomas Partey. Made a couple of strong claims last week as well against Everton. Just looking really strong, really firm, really confident, really accomplished, David Raya.
I would agree with that. You know, we spoke about the Edison goal a minute ago, and this one, he doesn't get blocked, but he gets really good footwork, and he's so good at this. You know, and I love the fact that he is so good at this because, you know, what is he, 6'1", I think he is. And the fact that he's so good at collecting crosses, it just dispels the myth that you need to be 6'5", 6'6" to be seen as being dominant, whereas David Raya is one of the most dominant goalkeepers, certainly in the Premier League. Great take. And actually, the role itself, it sounds so simple that he rolls it out to a midfielder and they go on and score. But even the role itself. It was having to thread it through a couple of players. It was quite a risky role to make, but it just shows you, you get that right, break the lines, and what, within two passes was it? They're in on goal and they score. So, yeah, on the face of it, quite simple, but it just shows you that good, you know, good claim, quick distribution to the right player, and it just changes the whole state of the game. Brilliant goalkeeping.
There was a moment in this one too from Mark Flecken, which was a miscontrol of sorts, but I actually didn't think the touch was that bad. He actually plucked it out of the air, but because of the anticipation, I guess, from Bukayo Saka, he nearly conceded one.
Really awkward one, this, because you can see he's sort of semi-waiting, like, is it going to come in the box? And he sort of realises last second that it's not. There is a player in close proximity. And then you've got that decision. Do you just boot it? Do you just kick it away? Which I think years gone by, I think 99% of goalkeepers are just swinging a leg at this and just hoping they get some distance. But of course, the way of the game now, his first thought is, can I bring it down? Can I play? And that's, again, the progression of goalkeepers, I guess, and the fact that they've all, you know, all got such a good touch, Mark Flecken very much included. But the player was just so close to him. So even though it's a decent enough touch, he's closed him down straight away, nicked it off him, and very nearly a goal. I do wonder what you do in this situation. Again, I still think this type of one where you're trying to be so proactive, on the front foot, you're outside the box, looking to read the game, which he's done very, very well. I think when you've got a player within a few yards, I still think that might be that big, firm side foot on the volley. Just get it away, retreat to your goal, and then go again. But again, it's just the way that goalkeepers are drilled now. It's like, can you play at all times?
Liverpool 2, West Ham 1, and the return of Alisson. The return of Alisson being Alisson, or Alice Banson, with his new little... is that an Alice Bans you'd call that? I thought, actually, an Alice Bans the one that kind of clips up into your hair, doesn't it? What's just a straight band? What's that called?
I mean, you've got a lot more information on Alice Bans than I do, apparently. I've got absolutely no idea.
You strike me as a goalkeeper who might have worn an Alice Band back in the day if you had the long type of hair.
Okay, we don't need to bring up the hair. I mean, we can, you know, we can talk about goalkeeping. No need for that.
Okay, but yes, Alisson, just incredible. The world's best, in my opinion. Saves from Carlos Soler, Mo Kudus and Jared Bowen. Just unflappable.
Very good. Very, very good. I mean, I think we still count it as double saves, don't we? The one on the angle, then he retreats and makes a save on the bar. And I thought that was excellent for a couple of reasons. A couple of good one-on-one examples again. Yeah, I feel I've got to be careful not to, almost gets a bit boring because we're saying the same things with Alisson on one-on-ones. His timing, the distance he gets between himself and the player, a point of impact, his shape. You know, I'll talk about the second one first where, again, the player's coming through, cutting across him. But again, just the awareness as to what's going on. He gets himself there. Body weight is very good. Moves to his right-hand side. Again, a point of impact. He's within a yard or so. A lot of goalkeepers would stay very deep here and turn this into a, you know, shot-stopping, maybe be a yard or two off the line and say, come on, beat me, which again, isn't necessarily wrong. But I think the way that Alisson plays, the fact that he can read this so well and get himself into such a good position, I don't know how the striker scores with this one. Similar with the first one, but the great thing about the first one is he makes a save and it's actually the speed of his retreat back to goal. Again, just reading the play instantly, that's that thought, what's the danger here? And he knew the danger was potentially over his head and the speed at which he gets back. And then when it's executed perfectly, the ball that was going to go into the far top corner, you know, crosses the legs, gets a good spring away, fingertips, which, you know, it nestles in the back of the net if it wasn't for that. I just thought this whole passage of play was excellent. Then a really good save low down to his left as well, second half, which, yeah, top as well. You know, got his positioning bang on and just so quick. And it's just that lovely one on the angle where, you know, fingertips is enough, takes it into a safe area. Top, top goalkeeping.
Chelsea 2, Ipswich 2. And Alex Palmer with two big saves in this one to preserve the draw, saving to his right from Cole Palmer and a really good stop point blank from Enzo Fernandez.
Yeah, very good. Really good save. Certainly, the second one's an interesting one. The first one, full stretch, moves his feet well, explodes, get a good hand to it around the post, top save that. And the second one's interesting that he almost goes into a spread of sorts. And I watched this a few times and I think, when you look at it again, it's actually, you know, again, you might be taught in this situation sometimes just to hold your position, hold your set position, and then look to make the save. But I think when it is 4 or 5 yards out like it was, he's almost made the decision to get himself a bit lower, spread to an extent, and look to react. And that's exactly what he did. It was absolutely hammered. And the fact that he'd already done the spread, his hand was near enough there, and he's able to move it slightly, get a big firm hand to it, and it is a top save.
Another 2-2 between Brighton and Leicester. Last week, we spoke about Bernd Leno and the fact that we don't speak about him too much on the podcast. I think you can probably put Bart Verbruggen in that category as well. Two really good stops in this one from Bilal El-Khanous and Jamie McAteer. There was the season last season, obviously wasn't there, where he flip-flopped with Jason Steele, very much the number one this season, and has shown really that he's becoming, or has arguably become, an established Premier League goalkeeper.
Yeah, very much so. And I think, again, you know, we spoke about this with, or about a few goalkeepers, when they very much have the number one shirt and they're able to get into that sort of momentum. And it's different as well, I think, when you're a goalkeeper, in that you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. There's always that sort of worry that, or that annoyance that you might make a mistake and it might be that you're out the next game and you don't have time to actually play through it and just build a season. Because, you know, goalkeepers will have good runs and not so good runs, and good games, not so good games. But naturally, we're at that sort of stage now where you look back over the bulk of games and it's, you know, we'll look at the goalkeeper and be like, yeah, he's had a really good year, because you're looking at over the course of, what is it now, 34, 35 games, whatever they've played now, and you can take a bit more of a different view on the season they've had. And I think for him, yeah, playing every game, there's been a, you know, been a few moments in there, one or two that we spoke about over the time, but over the course of the number of games, he has been very, very solid. Certainly a step up from last year where, as you say, he was mixing the games. Going into next season, still so young as well. I think, is he 23, I want to say? You know, he's still so, so young. So, yeah, very, very solid season. The fact that he's got another, you'd think, 12 to 15 years at the top. Yeah, very exciting for him, very exciting for Brighton fans.
We're going to finish in the Premier League with a couple of what next four questions. The first of those is going to be at St Mary's, where it was Southampton 0, Aston Villa 3. Aaron Ramsdale with two penalty saves from Marco Asensio. The second one was rebounded, which, if you delve deep into the National League, you'll see something very similar from the weekend. Harrison Mayle making two very similar penalty stops for York in their win over Aldershot. They won 7-2, but he saved one, then he saved another, which was rebounded in almost the exact fashion as the one that was rebounded in this particular game. But let's just talk about Aaron Ramsdale, because Southampton have been confirmed they are relegated. What's next for him?
I think he stays in the Premier League. I'm convinced about that. And I actually think, although it's been a tough season for Southampton, there was a big risk in him making this move the way that it's played out. But certainly, I think personally, it's fair to say that it hasn't damaged his stock too much. If anything, he's often been the standout player for Southampton. And of course, he's been so, so busy this season. And if anything, it's I'm always curious to look at this, where last year, you know, it was kind of thought that he would move on. David Raya obviously established himself as a one, so he felt like Aaron Ramsdale was going to move on, but it felt very, very quiet for a lot of the summer, and then eventually Southampton happened. You get the sense it might be a bit different. It obviously depends on what slots are available and if the right slot is available. I believe, or what it's certainly been the press, is there might be a potential buyout in that contract, so that the fee shouldn't be too high. Which then, if that is the case, I suppose the argument is he in a better position now, coming out of Southampton Premier League, having spent the full season playing pretty much every game other than when he had the injury? Or was he in a stronger position last year, where he was coming out of Arsenal, stock very high from the previous seasons? And again, a lot of this then comes down to which slots are available, what's the budget, and what type of goalkeeper are they looking at? So I think there will be enough slots out there that he will land something very, very good. Really curious to see where that is. A few stories are circulating at the moment. But yeah, I'm convinced he stays in the Premier League. Can't imagine that he goes down and plays in the Championship Southampton. And my guess, and certainly my gut would say, that he'll want to maintain that level because, of course, with England and what have you, where he's very much in and around it, he'll know himself that he has to keep playing Premier League football if he's going to have a chance of taking the shirt off Jordan Pickford.
Is there, to finish on this one, is there a stigma ever attached to, because you used to hear names over the years, right, of players who always ended up being that player who went to a relegated side, a team that had either come up to the Premier League, they signed that player, they then got relegated. I mean, I'm talking years ago, I'm thinking of Ashley Ward, Neil Redfern, that type of player. In this instance, is there ever a stigma attached to a goalkeeper who plays for teams that are relegated? Because I think that's three now, right, for Ramsdale. That's Bournemouth, Sheffield United, and now Southampton.
I think it's four.
Is it four?
I've got a feeling. Was it Chesterfield? Because I think he stayed up with Wimbledon, didn't he, when he went alone with Wimbledon? But I've got a feeling it might be four. But no, look, in answer to the question, not really. Look, you know, it all depends. And of course, it depends on the type of season that you've had. And I think it's fair to say, I know he had, was it Sheffield United? I can't think which season it was. It was quite a tough season. And we spoke about it a lot on the pod at the time. But the others, you know, and certainly this season, it's not one where he's also struggled with the team. And you see that a lot. It's quite tough for goalkeepers that are playing in teams that are down the bottom. You often find at some point the goalkeeper will get changed. You know, there's many examples this season where the goalkeeper that was starting did come out for various reasons, and obviously another goalkeeper played. That hasn't happened with Aaron Ramsdale. He has been consistent. He's kept his levels high. So I think the majority of teams that are looking, and the fact that he has played for Arsenal in a successful Arsenal team, didn't win the league, but they were there or thereabouts. So it's, you know, it's not been one of them where his CV only, you know, is only struggling teams. He has played for one of the biggest teams in the world. And certainly that particular season, I think they finished second or third, did they? I can't remember now. But, you know, so he's not sort of seen as that goalkeeper that'll only go into a, let's say, one of the promoted clubs. If a Leeds United are looking, I know that might be one of the links. You know, I'm sure there might be interest there. But I think you'll also get the teams that are kind of, you know, mid-prem, maybe even top-end prem, that are looking at an Aaron Ramsdale and seeing him as the right fit.
The other what next comes at Manchester United, who lost 4-1 at St James's Park on Sunday to Newcastle. Altay Bayindir came in for Andre Onana, was at fault for the fourth goal in an attempt to play out. Onana made a couple of errors in midweek against Lyon. What next for United, not just on Thursday as to who Ruben Amorim puts in, but moving forward in the future, next season, the season after, for their entire goalkeeping department?
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see. I mean, talking about this mistake in particular, it was, a tough moment for him. The only thing I think on this, I've watched it again, I know that goalkeepers are instructed to play a certain way. I get that. I just think the pass that he's attempting to make is such a difficult one to do. Like, he's almost trying to clip it and curl it over two players in order to get it into his front man. But it's such a delicate pass that you need to play. And again, whether that's because there was lack of options at the time and he felt that was the best pass to play and obviously didn't execute it. He's unfortunate in that the guy, it's a great header, to be fair, from the lad to then put it into the path of the lad that scores. But not a great moment for him. And it will be really interesting. I don't think it's just the goalkeeping department, though. You get the impression, and again, this will be driven by finances, depending on where they are at the moment, which doesn't sound like they're in a great place. But it could be a big change to try and change everything, really. Change the culture. And you kind of feel then, you know, what players will stay within that. And I don't think there'll be many if they are able to do what they need to do. And certainly on the goalkeeping front, you know, the amount of pressure that there's been on Onana and the goalkeeping department in particular, you kind of feel like something may well happen there. And of course, the press, you know, as you can imagine, are all over it at the moment. And they're linking Man United with every goalkeeper under the sun. So I am really curious to see how it plays out. I also feel for the goalkeepers, and certainly Onana to an extent, in that I think, yeah, go back to what I said before, Ramsdale, credit to him, has done very well in a struggling team. Obviously, Man United are a different level in terms of clubs, so the amount of publicity they get is next level. And where they've struggled so badly, there's very, very few players that are coming out with credit. And of course, when Onana's had a moment or two, they've quickly jumped on it. And as much as he's actually been solid for large parts of the season, of course, you have a few moments in quick succession. And certainly all the journalists come out in force.
Can I offer an alternative take for United in their goalkeeping department as their number one, not just for Thursday, but perhaps for the rest of the season?
You can.
Tom Heaton.
Okay.
Now, I understand that people might laugh at that and think a goalkeeper in his late 30s who hasn't played for the best part of, what, 2-3 seasons now would be a ridiculous shout to have as Manchester United number one with a potential Europa League final on the horizon. However, if I can just come at this from a very Luddite perspective towards goalkeeping, and that Manchester United, it feels like, haven't focused on a goalkeeper with basic goalkeeping fundamentals in their recruitment for the past couple of seasons. Now, I guess that would just be Andre Onana because he took over from David De Gea, but I'm going to lump Bayindir into that as well. And is there something to be said that United just having a goalkeeper who can do the goalkeeping basics would work better? And I understand that there are processes to play and Ruben Amorim has a certain style of play, but I would say that's not really being executed that effectively by either Onana or Bayindir when he's in. And I would also argue that from what I've seen from Bayindir, especially on Sunday, he's not that much more effective with his feet than Tom Heaton is anyway. Now, Tom Heaton, obviously not a ball-playing goalkeeper, but can do enough to ping a ball into the channels, can clear his lines, can play a pass if he really, really needs to. But is there an argument here to suggest that United just need to go back to basics, to have a goalkeeper that wouldn't make the errors that Onana has been making, that is solid, knows the league, and can just be a steady Eddie?
I mean, look, I don't disagree for the fact, and the example in the Premier League right now, and I'm sure you wouldn't mind me saying this, is Nick Pope. Mm-hmm. You know, where credit to Newcastle, like, and credit to Eddie Howe, and I hope he gets well soon, by the way. That was horrible to hear that he's not in a good place at the moment. But yeah, credit to Eddie Howe in that he has prioritised that over, you know, Nick Pope. Nick Pope can play to an extent, but I think he'll admit himself, and it's kind of thought that it's not necessarily a super strength. But of course, he is a phenomenal goalkeeper, you know, in terms of keeping the ball out the net. How strong he is aerially, knowing the game, reading the game, presence at the back. So like you say, I still think there is an argument for that. But you just see so many managers now that they have a plan A and they don't necessarily ever want to go to plan B. And it's one that they'll keep doing it, and they'll keep doing it until they find a way, which, again, I get. And there's been some very successful examples of that. But yeah, I go back to the idea of Nick Pope, where actually, if you have just got a super, super solid goalkeeper, yeah, okay, he might not give you quite as much in possession as, say, an Onana does, but it's then what is more important. And this is where I guess you get a lot of the data guys that will come in and talk to you about the amount of goals that a goalkeeper is worth in terms of how good they are in possession, what that can mean for a team, for the extra goals you'll score in a season if a goalkeeper is playing that style of football against maybe the unforced errors or goals that could be stopped in different ways. And I don't know, I think Newcastle are a great example. Like, do they do that much better if they've got a top in possession goalkeeper? I'm not sure. You know, I think to have a goalkeeper with the fundamentals, because I think it also changes everything around the play. If you know you've got a safe goalkeeper, you don't get that feeling of anxiousness around the stadium or within the team where you know you've got that behind you. So I don't disagree with you. I mean, again, it's hard to know. The only difficulty is it's hard to know exactly where Tom Heaton is, because it's been, you know, so long since he's had a run of games. So that would be the only thing that would be known within the club. But if he's still the Tom Heaton that we've known for however many years, then to bring someone like him just to calm things down a bit, if they're willing to change style just a bit, then it's certainly not the worst idea.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It is the EFL overview starting in the Championship, where Ivor Pandor turned it on for the Sky cameras last night. 7 saves he made in their game with Coventry. Crucial saves too. There was a brilliant one from Ellis Sims where he tipped it over the bar, and Hadji Wright down to his right. Good reactions from him there. It was a late equaliser from Hull, which means that they are still in with a shout of staying in the division. And Balazs Toth, his second league start for Blackburn at Luton, his first clean sheet, made a really good save in this one in the second half. Or did he? Certainly made it seem like he'd saved it. It came off the bar. What are you making of this one? He kind of did the celebration when the ball had gone back into midfield. Kind of feel like he wanted everybody to know that he'd got a touch on this.
If he has got a touch, you're right. Top save. You know, moves quickly to his left, gets a good dive away. The issue that you've got is we don't have the camera angles of the Premier League. And I think if we did, we'd be able to have clarity on whether he did make the save or not. But again, I'd like to think he's an honest guy. I'm sure he is. The fact that he did the little celebration, which I would have done too, by the way, if I know I've got fingertips to it, it's that classic one. You get fingertips and the ref gives a goal kick, you know, and you're basically telling the ref, you know, owning up, like, no ref, it's a corner. You know, it was a little bit of that going on with the celebration. So the fact that he celebrated, I'm going to take his word for it. And if so, it's a fantastic save.
First win in 9 for Blackburn. Toth coming in to replace place Ainsley Pearce. You'd imagine after that victory, he'll be in for the next one, and maybe until the end of the season too. 4 wins in 5 for Millwall. They are very much still in the playoff hunt, and that was thanks to Lucas Jensen, who, similar to Toth, looked like he got a touch on a Finazaz effort. Can't be sure of that one. What you can be sure of is his touch on the shot, the point blank shot from Marcus Force right in injury time that kept the clean sheet and maintained the victory for Millwall. Big save that one. Jacob Zetterstrom very nearly made a big pen save. Well, he did make the pen save from Colby Bishop. You thought it might result in a phenomenal victory for Derby at Portsmouth. However, Portsmouth did equalise late on in that one. He took a whack from his own man as well in injury time here, Zetterstrom, which means that he is likely to be out for the season. That is a big blow for the Rams. And finally, Tony Mowbray has done a Daniel Farke at West Brom. Josh Griffiths coming in for Joe Wildsmith. You'd imagine maybe for the remaining games of the season.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. When Josh Griffiths returned from Bristol Rovers, there was a thought that he would potentially start on the back of all the games he played for Bristol Rovers, and Wildsmith hadn't played that many. Of course, Wildsmith did get the nod and did very well, in fairness, a lot of the games I saw. I know he's had one or two moments recently, decided to make the change. So a real opportunity now for Josh Griffiths to cement down his place. I just want to talk about the save from Jensen, or a couple of saves. You know, really good top hand save. Loved the save on the angle. Just thought he read the situation really well, got himself out quick, made himself big. And it's that lovely one where it's struck hard. You managed to get a hand to it, turn it around the far post as it was. Yeah, I thought it was a top save.
Into League One, where there was a really nice save from Jack Stevens midway through the first half against Charlton. Cambridge losing 1-0 in the end, and actually he conceded from a very similar position about 10 minutes prior. Tyrese Campbell cutting in from the left, but a good save from Stevens on that occasion. Back in for the remaining games for the Ewes. One of many, really. We're seeing this throughout the EFL, where goalkeepers tending to come in for the final few games of the season. George Wickens with a very similar situation, I thought, to Max Crocombe at Wrexham last week. This was Lincoln v Shrewsbury. So it was a loose bouncing ball. Goalkeeper and attacker both challenging for it. The attacker gets there first, but without Wickens making a definitive movement towards him, the attacker then thunders into Wickens, just as we saw last week in that example that I've given. Both players hit the deck. Now, last week, in that moment, a penalty was given. This week, no pen is given. The ref allows play to continue. However, the danger has not been cleared. Shrewsbury still score a pretty spawny goal and equalise to make it 1-1, which is how it finished.
Yeah. And like you say, slight difference between the two situations. When I've watched it again, it looks to me as if Wickens does get there first and he's just about to gather it, and then he gets knocked, hence why he doesn't gather it. So I'd have this as a foul. I just think that, I don't know, like I say, both occasions I'd have them both as a foul on the goalkeeper, because I think the first one where, yeah, the lad, it's dangerous play, when we were talking about the Max Crocombe one from last week, you know, for me that's dangerous play and, yeah, could injure Max Crocombe and yet somehow gets the penalty. And with this one, I think Wickens is pretty much there, almost hits his chest and he's about to gather it, then gets barged and doesn't get the foul again. So again, it's that grey area that we spoke about before. And just to touch on the Jack Stevens save, I thought it was a brilliant save, this, because that's going right in the corner. You know, and Jack's moved really, really quickly with his feet, got down. It's an awkward one as well, bouncing just in front of him. Really strong save, puts it into a safe area too. And nice to see him back in the team.
Point blank from Joel Pereira as well in League One. He maintained a point for Reading at Northampton, which keeps them in the playoff hunt as well. Really good save from Tyler Roberts in the second half. And top class from Will Norris. You'd say that this is him now on the map for Wickham Wanderers. He clawed out a Carl Piergiani header in the second half in a game that was 0-0 at the time between Wickham and Stevenage. Wickham then scored deep into injury time, which keeps them in the automatic promotion hunt. And a word on Luke Hutchinson, a pro debut. He's at Bolton, but on an emergency loan at Crawley. They lost 3-1 to Leyton Orient, but some nice moments from him. And 100 up for Sam Tickle at Wigan. 100 career appearances, and he capped it off with a nice clean sheet at home to Wrexham.
Yeah, well, a big well done to Sam Tickle to rack up that number of games at such a young age. Gives him a really good platform to build on. Brilliant save from Pereira. Yeah, great reactions on the angle. Takes up a really good position. Big right hand to keep that out. And just to mention the Will Norris save, really enjoyed this. Just for the speed of feet, explosive, gets himself up to his right hand side. Big hand to it. Top, top save.
We'll do the EFL Trophy final here too, the Virtue Trophy final, because it was contested between two League One clubs in Peterborough and Birmingham. And a shock win for Peterborough. They won 2-0, and a tale of two goalkeepers here at Posh that I just wanted to touch on. Jed Steer with a huge stop from Lukas Jukovic with 5 of 11 minutes of injury time to play. This was huge because you think if that had gone in, then Birmingham really would have pressed for that equaliser. And then after the game, there were some unsavoury scenes between both teams. And front and centre of those seemed to be Peterborough's number two, Nicholas Bajlo-Kapic, who, for whatever reason, felt like he'd get right involved in the melee.
He did. He was very much at the front leading things. But I was going to say about Jed Steer, in fact, for a large part of the game, he was a virtual spectator, I would say. Is that all right? Is that good?
I'll give you that, mate. Yeah, I'll give you that. Well done.
But no, he was. He didn't have... It was an interesting game, wasn't it? Like, Birmingham really didn't show up. I mean, a couple of worldy goals to put them 2-0 up, obviously, Peterborough. But then, yeah, but like you say, massive save at a massive moment. The speed of reactions are really, really good. Gives himself enough reaction time, takes up a good position, and so quick to get his hand up, tip it over. And as you say, you kind of feel, especially the season that Birmingham have had, they score that, and I think it could have been very different in the last few minutes of the game. So top, top save, and another trophy for Peterborough.
And finally, in League Two, Sam Walker, 9 saves, 5 conceded. It was a 5-4 defeat for Bradford to Swindon. Quite the humdinger of a clash at the County Ground. But we will mention a flying stop from Walker from Botan Amin at 3-all. Really explosive, really powerful, this one. Harrogate 2, Grimsby 2. Kieran Green will do nothing more than, I guess, basically applaud an outfielder here. What a goal this was. Well inside his own half. Left James Belshaw absolutely stranded. Gabe Breeze made a great stop from Callum Jones in a basement boys battle between Carlisle and Morecambe, flying to his right to tip this one over the bar. They've won 2 in a row now, Carlisle. It is not over yet in League Two because Accrington spurned a 2-goal lead over Tranmere. So the bottom 4 all played each other this weekend. Bottom played 2nd from bottom. 3rd from bottom played 4th from bottom. Very rare that you see that. And there were absolute scenes at the Wham Stadium. Luke McGee, up from nowhere. It was a case of now you don't see him, now you do. He suddenly appeared at a corner, jumped for that corner. The danger was cleared. He's then challenged for a ball on the halfway line, having given up on chasing back to his own goal line. He's managed to keep possession. That was vital. He's then sprinted back into the box. Tranmere bagged the winner. Absolute bedlam. It was brilliant to see. Really good to see Joe Murphy as well, off the bench, on the pitch, celebrating with his players. Just, yeah, incredible scenes. You'd like to think the only scenes, really, that you get in the EFL and nowhere else.
It really was. And actually, how key was that header at the halfway line? You know, him then challenging for that. And in the end, that made such a difference. And you can see there's a point when the ball's going up the other end that he starts to run back. At first, he's jogging. Then he turns on the afterburners. Then he obviously gets to about halfway and thinks, forget this. Let's just see where it goes. No point in me going back to my goal now. And it's such a good job he did that, because then he wins a flick on and it's a phenomenal finish. And of course, for Tranmere, that's huge. It's, you know, it's a point, but now the gap between, I think, them and the bottom two is now 7 points, I think. So, law of averages, they should be okay, you'd think now. But it was, phenomenal end to that game. Just wanted to mention the save from Walker in particular. Really enjoyed the save and seen a few like that from him. You know, he's got that technique down to a T, that top hand, top corner, moves across well, big guy, explodes well. Really, really good save.
Clean Sheet Club.
Okay, well, I'm having a little bit of a break from this at the moment, so passing it to my colleague, Mr. Beadle. It's time for this.
Okay, this won't be the norm moving forward, Richard. It's 2 weeks in a row now, but we'll allow it for this one more time. We are going to start in the Premier League. Jordan Pickford first in nine. Emi Martinez. Last four cleanos have all come in 3-0 wins. Kepa Arrizabalaga, Berry Cherry. Into the Championship. Victor Johansson, massive. Balazs Toth, welcome to the club. Lucas Jensen, back-to-back. Jamie Cumming, Sheffield Shower. Lawrence Vigourou, one of just three at the Stadium of Light this term. Into League One, Sam Tickle, ton. Arthur Okonkwo, 8-10. Will Norris, quarter save. Max Crocombe, something's brewing. Will Mannion, legs 11. Lee Burge, Reading, Reading. Joel Pereira, couldn't clean it fairer. And into League Two, Will Stanway, tally doubled. Ryan Boot, seventh heaven. Tate Holtham, welcome to the club, Mark Two. Gabe Breeze, basement blank. Matt Macy, 1 off 10 times 2. And Ben Amos, 5-7.
Very good, Matthew. Very, very good.
We should also mention there, because we didn't mention it in League Two, which is my fault, but Tate Holtham as well, in addition to Luke Hutchinson, he made his pro debut for Gillingham at the weekend and kept a clean sheet. So well done to him. Just quickly on the table, top of the pile, obviously, James Trafford, 28 in 41. Ian Melier, 21 in 39. But you'd imagine Melier might be caught. Michael Cooper hasn't kept one for a while, of course, because Sheffield United suddenly suffering a round of defeats out of nowhere. He's got 19 and 14. He's now been joined on 19 by two lads from League Two. Owen Goodman with 19 and 42 alongside Matt Macy, also 19 in 42. So they are battling for that second spot.
It is very much a battle for second. And as you say, if Melier can't get his place back in the team, which seems like Darlow's been very, very solid since coming in, then there is certainly an opportunity for that silver medal.
To finish, Richard, I'd like to quickly ask you how many own goals you thought were scored in the weekend's fixtures.
How many own goals? I'm going to go, what, for the 92 teams, yeah?
For the 92
so I'm gonna
teams.
Go 5.
9 own goals this weekend.
That's a lot.
Now, ordinarily you go, oh, it's not really that many, but I would say that's an inordinate number of own goals for that amount of games. 9 own goals, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing, what are we talking, 46 games, so one in every 5 games there's an own goal. Yeah, that's quite a lot.
It's quite a lot. 3 in the Prem, 2 in the Champ, 4 in League 2, none in League 1. And we're going to finish, Richard, with the Suffolk FA Premier Cup final. Leicester FC versus Felixstowe and Walton United. Can we talk about the scissor kick from Leicester FC goalkeeper Billy Johnson?
Brilliant. It is just beautiful. Like, he's, how often do you actually get the opportunity, firstly, to go up for a corner? And when you do, 9 times out of 10, the ball comes nowhere near you. But when it actually does come near you, how many goalkeepers then fluff their lines at that moment, you know, get a little bit too excited? But he's absolutely nailed this. That overhead kick, kind of slightly on the side, catches it perfectly down into the ground, into the corner, and then naturally the scenes that follow.
Just so good to see, and so many angles as well, because so many people had phones at the game. There are so many different angles that you can see that goal. It went viral on social media. Unfortunately, they didn't actually end up winning the cup final. It went to penalties, and Felixstowe and Walton were triumphant there. But it also wasn't the first time that he's done something like this. He'd said that he'd lived off an overhead kick he'd scored in a warm-up for Stevenage about 4 or 5 years prior, and that was brought to light too. So he's got a bit of a talent here, hasn't he, old Billy?
He's got the technique. I mean, that one, the actual one that was, I think it must have been before a game or something, because it was in the stadium, but that was phenomenal. Like, that was a little bit further out, and it could not have gone more in the top corner. Like, it was an unbelievable technique. But you can see that he's practiced it. You know, the one that he did score at the weekend, it just looks so natural. You know, that's the kind of thing that as a kid, he'll have been doing that in the back garden with his mates and stuff like that. It just looked really, really natural doing it.
Good stuff, Richard. I guess we'll finish where we started. Any idea, or can you let us know when the podcast is due to be out with you and the Undercosh guys?
I'll let you know. I don't know. I did ask them that, and it seems like they've had quite a lot over here while they've been here. So I think they've got a bit of a backlog. So I don't know how many. I think they put out a couple a week, I think. So I'm guessing it'll be within the next 2 or 3 weeks. The moment I know, I'll be sure to let you know, and hopefully you enjoy it, despite not being mentioned.
Where did you meet them, by the way? Was it in a nice Dubai setting?
No. You ever seen the, back in the day, Men Behaving Badly? Do you remember that show?
I do remember that show. Yes, Richard.
Yeah, you remember how the apartment looked when you go into the apartment and there's just like empty beer bottles everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that. So it was just a random apartment that they rented in Dubai and literally walked in and just empty beer bottles throughout the whole apartment. It was quite the scene.
Brilliant. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Wait.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.